The text,
1 John chapter 2, verses 12 to 14. This is the word of God. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. This is the word of God.
Census.gov reports an approximate population of 8 billion. Of this 8 billion, there are physical diversities, such as skin color, hair texture, facial features, height, eye color, blood type. Because of these physical diversities, there have been historical definitions of race, racial conceptions. But these separations are only cultural. They're not genetic. The Apostle Paul says in Acts 17 that he has made from one blood all nations of men to dwell on the face of this earth. We've all been descended from Adam and Eve. We all have the same first parents. We are all united as one in humanity. Likewise, also the church. Many diversities from every kindred, tongue, nation, peoples, all spiritually begotten by God. However, there are those who have crept into the church, deceivers that claim to be one with the church. And hence we have a need to recognize that we are one inasmuch as we have faith on that one, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The others are outside. This evening, we continue our sermon series on 1 John. The text again is 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 to 14. 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 to 14. And I declare the teaching to be, faith unites all, though of different degrees, and though persons of different ages. Faith unites all, though of different degrees of faith, and though different persons of different ages. I divide the text into three parts. First, faith unites all. Second, faith unites even though of different degrees. And lastly, faith unites even though it's persons of different ages. First, faith unites all. The author, John, he is an elder. And he writes to the letter of 2 John, the elder to the elect lady and her children. He writes to the letter to the third John, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius. He is an elder, he is a spiritual father, and these are his spiritual children. He writes here, I'm writing to you, little children. And we see that in the beginning of the second chapter, he says, little children, these things I write unto you. He also writes, little children, this is the last time. And he also writes at the end of the letter, little children, keep yourself away from idols. Now he watches over his children here because he knows that they are deceivers who have come into the church. And they brought in their destructive doctrines, such as these early Gnostics who say that matter has evil inherent in it. And therefore, because your body is matter, it's evil. They deny the ethical responsibility of man and the voluntary action of sin. For all they know, they just have to escape from the body, and that will be their salvation. Now, John, he denies that, because the Bible teaches that our first parents, Adam and Eve, they sinned willfully in eating the forbidden fruit. And this sin was imputed, and the same death and sin conveyed to all their posterity. And from this occurs all actual sins. Later in the third chapter, John says that sin is transgression of the law. Let me read for you verse 12 once more time. One more time. I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. Mercifully, God sent a redeemer, a condition that he would assume a human nature, both body and soul, personally united to his divine nature, and that he would submit himself to law as a surety for us, satisfy the justice of God, perform obedience in his name, even to the death, cursed death on the cross. He would redeem and ransom us from all sin and death and purchase for us righteousness and eternal life. Now, this is a cardinal doctrine of the Christian faith. He who holds this doctrine is one with the church. He who holds not to this doctrine is outside. Arianism, that is a heresy. They posit that the Son was once not, making him like a lesser God. Arianism thus denies the sufficiency of the atonement. Arianists, they claim that they're one with the church, but they're outside the faith. Jehovah's Witnesses, they claim that the Father is the only true God, and thus they make the Son just a little God. Thus they also deny the sufficiency of the atonement. Now the Jehovah's Witnesses, they also claim that they're one with the faith, but they're outside. These deceivers here, they deny that Christ has come in the flesh. They claim they're one with the church, but they're also outside. Now, you've probably heard of the modern-day Jews saying that Jesus is just a great teacher. You've heard that the Muslims have said that Jesus is just a mere prophet. And perhaps you've even heard those who say that Jesus is just like one of us and he gets us and there he is like a hippie who's just walking around in Birkenstocks, and I know you would agree with me that that's just blasphemous. We are united together in faith, and it's faith in this one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Second, faith unites though of different degrees. Faith unites, though of different degrees. Let me read for you verse 13 to 14. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Faith is in degrees, and what we have here is appellations of father, young men, and children. Now, these terms are for the various stages of faith. Just a side note here. We have here on verse 13, children. This is different from the little children on verse 12. Two different Greek terms. The first, the fathers who have known him who is from the beginning. Now these, the writer of Hebrews says that strong meat belongs to them who are full of age, who by reason of use have had their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now these are the mature in faith. They're the ones who have gone through tribulations, they're the ones who abound in godliness and charity. These are ones that also have a greater knowledge of the more profound doctrines, such as knowing him who was from the beginning, that the Son of God, the second person in the Trinity, being very and eternal God, and he was also one who is the same substance as the Father. It is he in the fullness of time who came by water and blood. These are the ones who have a more profound knowledge of the doctrine. Second, young men. In Acts 15, Luke writes, and Barnabas was determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought it not wise to take with him because he went not with them to the work. At the time, Mark, he possessed a young man's faith, which was genuine but raw. He had confidence. He was weaned from milk. He wasn't a babe, but he wasn't quite mature yet also. And he would stumble, and just he did, going not with them to the work. But this young man's faith is also one that understands union with Christ. For if we be planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. If so be that we suffer with him, we shall also be glorified with him together. It's a young man's faith that understands union with Christ, because just as Christ our head has overcome, those who are united with Christ also have overcome. Christ, he has delivered a decisive blow. He has crushed the head of the serpent. And the serpent now is a wounded animal. He walks about seeking for someone to devour. And he will have his victories from time to time. But the young man, when he hears in the distance, he hears the faint, dying cry of the serpent. He is encouraged by the words of Paul in the last chapter of Romans, when he says that the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Next, the little children. Jesus says in his gospel, the gospel of Matthew, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God." These are ones who have a childlike faith, ones who had admiration, humility, obedience. These are those who are learning the principles of the doctrines of Christ, of faith towards God, of the doctrines of baptism, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of dead, and eternal judgment. These are those who recently received the spirit of adoption of sons, and they cry out, "Abba, Father." And these are the ones that also know the Father, as it says here, "because you know the Father." Not in the same way as the mature, but they recognize and follow the voice of the shepherd. Faith is in different degrees. We have here the fathers, we have the young men, and we have the children. We're all united as one. Faith sometimes can be weakened and assailed, but because it's a genuine faith, it will always get the victory. Passport controls, these are places at ports, airports, borders, and families traveling together, mothers, fathers, with their young teenagers, with their children. They have to show proof of kin. Now, the passport official, he's looking for, on their passports, the same family name. If he sees that same family name, they're permitted to pass. They're recognized as being one. If they don't have the same family name, then they'll be questioned for human trafficking. Now, the church also, we have a diverse group here. We have fathers, young men, we have children. We're all united as one. We have the name of God on us. Do you have the name of God on you? Or do you have the mark of the beast? In this letter, it talks about two types of people: those who are the children of light and the children of darkness. Do you have just a little faith like a mustard seed? Because if you do, that will apprehend the benefits of Christ. We have considered that faith unites all. We have considered that faith unites those of different degrees. Now let's lastly consider faith unites those of different ages. Faith unites those persons of different ages. Let me read for you once again, chapter 13 and 14. "I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who was from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you've overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you overcome the evil one." Now again, John is an elder. He's entrusted with the household of God. And he writes in his letter to 3 John that he would like nothing better than for his children to be walking in the truth. Unfortunately, we have deceivers who would like nothing better than for John's children not to be walking in the truth. These are deceivers. And they have crept in unawares. They're introducing their destructive doctrines in their schismatics. And what we have here in verse 13 and 14, I believe, and also some other commentators, I believe that John is not just writing about the spiritual, but also of the physical ages. Because when you have these physical ages, you will understand one another better. And that's always good because it strengthens our bonds of unity, which also adds a bulwark against our enemies. We have here the fathers. Now, these are the physically aged, advanced in years. These are ones who've accumulated much earthly wisdom and knowledge. Now, because John is writing to the whole church here, I think in this passage, not other passages, but in this passage, it can also refer not just to males, but also to females. Now, because of his seniority, we must understand and give them reverence. We must give them their dignity. We must give them love, our heart, our behavior, prayer, and thanksgiving. Because they are older, we must not rebuke them severely, but treat them as your own father, and also the elder women as mothers. But because they have longevity and accumulated much sage, they may have a tendency to be a little bit dismissive to teaching, especially from a younger person. And that's why I believe that John is exhorting them personally in this passage and also the rest of the letter. Now we also turn now to the young men. And these are young men who are in the prime of their life, full of exuberance, energy, and endurance. And they are strong. And therefore, we have to respect them for their advances and their achievements. Give them honor for their dignity and worth. But because they're in the flower of their life, they may overestimate their abilities. They may forget that they, more than others, are in peril of worldly and sexual lusts. They may even forget where the true strength lies. And that's why John exhorts them, I believe, personally, reminding them that their true strength lies from the Word of God, which is from above, the Word of God which abides in them. The little children, the children. Now these are delicate. These are feeble and they're impressionable. And because of the tender age, we must give them love, prayer, instruct, counsel, admonish them when necessary. Because they're so young, I believe John writes to them also, because also they are included in the kingdom of God, because the Lord will have all sorts of people of all ages to serve him. Now, the physical has a correlation with the spiritual, but there are exceptions. We know that Paul, when he wrote to his protege Timothy, he says to let not an older man rebuke your youth, but be example for the believers in the word, in conversation, in charity, in faith, of spirit, of purity. And of course, we know the opposite is true also, that those who are fully mature physically, but they may have a conversion later in life, being a spiritual babe. And what comes to my mind is the thief on the cross, who said to Jesus, to remember me when you enter into my kingdom. Yes, there are diversities. And in this passage, we also see the physical as well as the spiritual. Because it helps us, if we understand this, to kind of strengthen our bonds of unity. Because we must. Because there are adversaries out there who are trying to break in, infiltrate, and trying to deceive us. The Red River Rivalry is perhaps probably no greater sports contest in the states of Texas and Oklahoma. And we see that on game day, we see fans, we see mothers and fathers, we see young men and women, we see children, we see toddlers, and some may not even know one another, some may not even like one another. but at least on one day, they are united. And you can see that with the colors that they wear. We have cream and maroon, or we have white and burnt orange. Also the church. We have many diversities, but as it says in Revelation, we are also donned symbolically in white garments. We unite together in faith. Are you an older person who believes that you don't have much in common with the younger? Or maybe you're a younger person who thinks that the old is kind of out of touch? Do you find it difficult to love Christians? Do you feel as though maybe it's just not even worth it? Well, these things are noted, but understand they're negligible. Because the primary thing is that we are united in faith. When you consider that faith unites all, when you consider that faith unites even though it's to different degrees, and we consider that faith unites though it is persons of different ages. Little children, the Son has given up his life for those who the Father has given them. Believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Little children, if what you heard from the beginning abides in you and you continue in the Son, you are begotten of God. Little children, your sins have been forgiven for his name's sake, and you will receive the gift, eternal life. It is he who came by water and blood, and Apostle John, he writes these things. He wrote this letter so that you would know that you have eternal life. There are 8 billion people in the world, many diversities, but we're all united as one in humanity. And also the church. For as the body is one, it has many members. And the body having many members also is one body, so also is Christ. And we are baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether bond or free, we've all been made to drink of one Spirit. We're a diverse group. We have different degrees of faith. We have different ages. We have different from different nations and also different social classes. We're all one. Unfortunately, the deceivers, they have come in. They've also claimed to be one. And that's why we have this need to recognize that we are one in as much as we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. All the others are outsiders. We heard from our passage here tonight that faith unites all, though of different degrees and though of different ages. Faith unites all. Though your faith is all of different degrees, and though you're very different, not just in ages, but nationalities and cultures, faith still unites you. While we're on this earth, we will strive, and some of us will advance from children to young adults to fathers. We will purify ourselves just as we are pure, and we also will physically age. But the day is coming when we will see him just as he is. And that's the day when we'll all come in a unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man and to the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ. What a day that will be until that day comes. We pray, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen.